You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
The Around the NFL podcast. Bought one of those Papa Shot basketball games and has seen their productivity drop exponentially.
Welcome to another edition of Around the NFL. I'm Dan Hansis. I got a virtual room filled with heroes. Greg Rosenthal, Mark Sessler, Colleen Wolf. Yes, Santa did import a Papa Shot into my home in December, and I've gotten quite good at it, A, and B, I do use it way more than my own children.
Mm.
I didn't know you have a Papa Shot. I'm going to come over. Oh. That's great.
Oh, yeah. It's the official one, too. Okay? It's not a knockoff.
Wow. Do you ever, like, compete against them and talk trash when they can't stand up to you because they're just little kids?
No, because I am so much better than them that it does. There's no way to actually compete in any meaningful way. Mm. So it's a lot of more solo private time for old Zeuser and the Papa Shot. And then whenever the kids have any interest in playing, I'll throw them a bone and watch them and tell them they're doing great. But they're really not. Like, I'm so much better than them at it.
This was my approach with the sport of tennis with my children, which I've dialogued with you guys about before, where it was like an absolute seek and destroy mission.
Right.
And, like, let's not leave any wiggle room about who's the most dominant performer.
Thank you.
Oh, my God.
That's exactly how I feel. Sometimes you have to, like, my eldest son, Jack, has really gotten into playing basketball. And so we'll go across the street. My neighbor has a hoop. And we'll play. And, you know, I let him hang around in games. And then as an 8-year-old boy is want to do. Yeah. As an 8-year-old boy is want to do, you know, if you start giving him some open looks and all of a sudden it looks like he's going to win, then I have to just actually drop the hammer and bring him down to earth. And I think if you're going to beat your dad, you're going to have to do it for real. I'm not handing out these fake dad victories. Come and get me for real. So I let him get close and then take him down. That's my dad philosophy.
That's the only
build
path.
Up, knock down.
Can't let their heads get too big.
Yeah. When he starts playing dirty, starts elbowing you, that's when you know he's a real man.
Exactly. Connie, how are you? You are under the weather today, so we really do thank you. And today is an important episode. We're going around the AFC in 48 minutes, coming off draft week. You were there, of course. And I was thinking, because it's always been kind of weird to me, and I don't know how you guys feel about it, but, like, we know one Colleen, and then she shows up at these league events, and she's dressed like up like she's going to the Oscars, and it's just like, it's kind of just jarring for me in terms of cognitively. Like, when you are the dressed up, like, award show, tentpole event, is that Colleen Wolf? Is that Connie Fox? Like, who are you right now, and who is that?
You know, I was actually thinking that is a totally separate representative that I'm not even really that familiar with. She is new to the scene and she only shows up like maybe once a year, but she brings it. And now me, Colleen Wolf and Connie Fox, we have to suffer the consequences. So my representative in Kansas City really did some great work. But also my travels there, I got stuck in Denver. I had to sleep on a bench in the airport for an hour and then fly to Dallas to get to Kansas City to do DJ's mock draft on like an hour of sleep, and they lost my bags. And so I started off really on a bad note, and now I think everything has caught up with me. So here we are. Like, I'm actually not hungover. I'm sick.
Colleen, when you were on our show last time, when it was you and Claybon and I, you mentioned that, you know, honestly, it was a nice thing to share with the fans that sometimes you deal with imposter syndrome, which a lot of people do. But do you find that the event, Colleen, maybe doesn't suffer from that, because maybe that's your true self that comes out, you know, say, you like you said, 2 or 3 days a year? Is that the more authentic Colleen?
No, it's all an act. It's all truly an act. Okay. It's still the genuine Colleen is inside that's like, what am I doing here? Why are they sending me out on stage? Why am I a hype man? But here we go. It helps, though.
You do tremendous work. You didn't answer the question, though. Is that Connie Fox?
It has shades of Connie Fox, for sure. That's
And who's talking
but
now?
I don't know.
Tiny
I think
Box?
It's a new... You know, because I'm sick, I think I'm just going in between all of the different representatives right now. No one has the wheel, for sure. So the car is going to crash at some point, and I don't know really who's driving.
Right. So you have multiple personalities. It's a disorder. All right. We're gonna hang in there. Hopefully Aunt Doreen makes an appearance. We're excited.
She's here.
So, yes, let's get caught up on one bit of news before we dive into the AFC. It came out of Green Bay. Of course, it's a whole new era for the Packers, with Aaron Rodgers now with the Jets and Jordan Love, the quarterback. They had a decision to make. It's a little clunky and awkward the way it all came out, where they took Jordan Love as a first round pick 3 years ago. He hasn't played yet. And now when he's about to take over as the starter, the team has to make the decision, as every team on first round picks do, on whether to pick up their option. So instead of the fifth year option, so instead of doing that, the team signed Love to an extension in which they, pay him a different amount, a lesser amount. And I suppose keep their options. What did you take out of this? Why did the Packers go this route rather than just pick up the fifth year option?
I was very surprised by this. Like, a couple of things can be true. It's absolutely a good move for Green Bay. I think, you know, they got him on a very team friendly contract. And if you're Jordan Love, I understand the idea of let's take some guaranteed money right now. He got like a signing bonus that he wouldn't have had otherwise. But I was just surprised that they started at the point of like, actually, no, we're not giving you a fifth year option. That's not something we're interested in. That's like, even $20 million is too much to guarantee without seeing you on the field. And the fact that they are so committed to this plan by getting rid of Aaron Rodgers, but they're not committed enough that they even are confident enough to keep Jordan Love into 2024. It's an eyebrow raiser, and they're keeping their options, and it means he might not be on the team next season.
The one, like for the Lamarmy people that are trumpeting the fact that, you know, he did all what he did without an agent and doesn't have to pay those agent fees, which, you know, I guess in the rearview mirror, that does look good. But if I'm not mistaken, it's David Mulligetta who is Love's agent. At least he was a year ago. So he's able to both get the highest guaranteed money for a quarterback ever in NFL history and then go do this deal, which looks sort of like Love got slightly snowballed here. So quite a versatile move from the agency.
I thought it was interesting on Saturday that Brian Gutekunst said it's when he was asked about Jordan Love and whether or not they would pick up his option. He said it's a lot of money for a guy who hasn't played, but at the same time, obviously, we're moving forward with him. So we're going to figure it out by Tuesday. So he kind of knew, obviously, that sum. It would have guaranteed him, I think, $20.2 million, the fifth year option. So they save a lot of money going 13.5 now. And then I guess for Love, if he does come out this year and he does play well, he in theory has more than 1 year to prove that he could be the Packers' future. So if he gets hurt or anything like that, I guess it gives him a little bit of insurance too. He's just not making the money he could have.
It was sort of the opposite of betting on yourself. That was the thing. He didn't want to bet on himself. He wanted to take the money, and I totally get that. Like, it's some security, but it just starting at the point, and I'm sure they told Mulligetta this, like, you're not getting that fifth year option, so will you take something else? And if not, we'll just roll with you, and you'll be on a 1 year contract. A little weird.
Yeah, and the thing with the Green Bay cap situation, it's a little complicated because they have over $40 million in dead money from Aaron Rodgers' contract on the cap this season. So this gives them some relief on that end of things. And then I think that it's $13 million guaranteed either way for Love next year, which is, I think it's a financial, it's a cap move, I think, as well. There's a lot of maybe different moving parts to it. One more thing about the Lamar thing. I wish any of us would have thought, like literally anyone else, like in football and covers the sport would have thought of it. Like this was always the way he should have played it. Don't hire the agent. Don't communicate with the team. And then wait for one of those other three guys. And then just say, give me that. That would have been so easy. And that's kind of what happened. But with Jalen Hurts' contract, like that's how I'm going to do it going forward if I ever was in a similar situation. I'm just going to wait. I'm going to see who else is kind of on a similar career trajectory or level in terms of our business. And I'm going to say, no agency, give me that. And even if I get a little bit less, I'm still covering, I'm making bank because I'm not paying the fee. It's kind of amazing.
Well, the problem is you don't have Tom Pelissero like reporting the negotiations of like Will Brinson's contract at CBS or anything. You know?
That's right. That's the issue. All right. So either way, Jordan Love is the quarterback this year, and then they have to see if he could play the guitar. That's what it comes down to. And Mark, if he could play that guitar, he will play the guitar for a long set in Green Bay. If not, they'll be on the hunt. They'll be on the search.
It's also, I think it's from one angle, and I know this is so, no one on Twitter could handle this side of it, but it's like, Love is in a weird situation. The Packers are in a weird situation. They kind of compromised. Like, I know you didn't get as much money as you could have, but you've also done nothing for the Packers. It's kind of like you met in the middle here and we'll see what happens. But I understand, like, you've got to go. It's all about the greenbacks and you got to go get everything you can. Otherwise, you're going to get absolutely destroyed verbally by everyone who covers the sport.
This is unprecedented, right? A player getting an extension without ever doing anything.
No, that was what was interesting. The compromise, which does make some sense, but more like this has literally never happened with this fifth-year option type. So they're setting a new foundation for other teams to copy if they're like feeling mixed. If like we kind of like you, sort of, maybe we'll see.
Again, if it's just about doing some cap tidy work, they have to sign their rookie class. It's a different situation. But if it's not really about that, I just would have went with the Daniel Jones route. The Giants went decline it,
right?
Play out the fourth year and then see where we're at. But they didn't do it. Let's see what happens. All right. Shall we? Shall we dig into the AFC post-draft?
Let's go.
Let's do it.
Yes,
let's be
of
like
course.
8-year-old boys. Let's go.
Exactly. If you want to take a overall look, Colleen, I meant to tell you right after this, you and I are going to do the Power Rankings podcast.
Perfect.
Check out NFL.com/power rankings or NFL.com/Hanzus to check out the latest power rankings. So I was underground working through all this over the last couple days. So I feel pretty prepared for this. I hope you guys are as well. I'm going to spin through 32 teams in two shows, starting with the AFC. 32 minus 16 means 16 teams to talk about. Let's do it, Justin. Starting out for us is Mark Sessler on the Bills.
So I had a chance to watch a little bit more of Dalton Kincaid, and my takeaway, and Greg, I know you were talking him up a couple shows ago too, is I think he might wind up being one of the best draft fits of any player in the first round. It just fits exactly what they need because he's a tight end, but he's really just basically their slot receiver. And I think it shores up a wideout group that looked a little thin after Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis. So, you know, they were quiet in free agency. I think Damian Harris was a good pickup. And they did re-sign a bunch of their own guys. But we're also watching like the Dolphins and the Jets totally level up before our eyes. Well, this is largely still the same Bills team as last year. And I think it's easy just to pencil them in for like the AFC title game year after year. But I think it ignores like how often last year they looked kind of asleep on offense and that Josh Allen had an up and down year. And I just wonder, have the Bills done enough? Like, are they ripe to be overrated all offseason, or should I just clam it with that concept?
No, I think they did the right thing in Kansas City. I mean, that was the move, I think, getting a playmaker in there. A lot of people connected wide receiver to him. They went tight end. But yes, like you said, he could play in the slot. Do I still imagine if they, you know, they also add to the offensive line with Osiris Torrance, and that was – important because they took a step back on the line last year and Josh Allen was sacked 33 times. I like that move. Do I really, would I love them to put the cherry on top with DeAndre Hopkins? Yes. I still think it makes so much sense. Even if you're hearing continued reports about Hopkins going back to Arizona, imagine this would be seen as a smashing success in Buffalo if they topped it off with that and they would go just steaming into the season. But yeah, I do agree with you. Kincaid made so much sense for them there.
I thought it was telling that they spent, right, the first two picks on offense, to me, like, they came into this draft saying we're going to help out Josh Allen. Four of their six picks were on offense. The first two picks.
T-minus 1 minute.
Ooh, forgot about that, Vixen. I am wondering, though, is Stefon Diggs, like, going to be an issue? That's sort of like an offseason storyline. It's like, oh, let's keep an eye on Stefon Diggs.
Connie?
I can't believe that they didn't get a cornerback until, what, like the last round in the draft. That was kind of shocking to me. So, and I forget how this works with the T-minus. Like, that's why I stopped talking. Is this one where you get darted or no? Okay.
T-minus 1 minute. That was 1 minute.
Oh, 1 minute. That's great. Okay, yeah, cool.
Your ass gets darted if you go over, though.
Okay. I was really shocked that I knew that they would end up getting a pass catcher. Obviously, they went tight end instead of a wide receiver because the tight end class was so deep this year and so talented. But the fact that they didn't get a corner kind of bothered me about this whole draft class.
The Stefon Diggs thing is on my radar too, but Brandon Bean said he wasn't concerned. I don't believe anything though.
The Miami Dolphins, Greg Rosenthal.
All right, they had a quiet draft, you know, just because they didn't have their picks, because the old hanky-panky with old Tom Brady and whatnot a year ago, trying to get that done with Sean Payton. But I think their draft kind of continued a theme for them in that they're, like, really deep. Their two first picks, Devin Achain was the running back in the third round, and then Cam Smith at cornerback. Like, those guys don't need to go in and play right away, but I like those picks, and they'll probably have a role during the season. And I started looking up and down this roster, and I got to say, it's a trend. Like, they have backups I like throughout their defense, like too deep. They got him. At running back, I like the backups. In wide receiver, I like the backups. Offensive line is maybe an issue, but overall, I look at this as one of the best rosters in the league. Like, Tua and the offensive line are a little bit of an issue, but otherwise, I think it's one of the best rosters in the entire NFL.
Quick story, Friday morning last week after the first round, I went golfing with my father-in-law, Bob Bates, DDS, and it was like a Top Golf place, so there was a bar, and I went to get a couple drafts before we hit the course, and as I'm paying up the tab, the guy notices my name, and he goes, man, so they didn't send you to the draft, huh? And first of all, that kind of
wow.
hurt a little bit.
A little bit of a dig there.
A little bit of a dig, got defensive, and I was like, oh, well, we didn't really want to go. But anyway, it turns out
you like run away.
Exactly.
It's like they didn't send Brinson either.
Shut up. It turns out he was a Dolphins fan, and we started chatting up a little bit. And I agreed, even as a Jets fan, where he's coming from, where it's like Miami. Like, remember before Tua got hurt, they were humming almost at a historic level on offense. They have a lot of pieces on both sides of the ball. Nobody's talking about the Dolphins, and maybe that's a good place to be. The AFC East. A sleeper cell here with all these other teams getting the hype. Yeah, I'm concerned as a team. They could be a team that wins 11 games this year. Easy.
Well, it is funny because it was a year ago that everyone's like, oh, are we going to get four teams from the AFC West in the playoffs? And two of the AFC West teams didn't win more than six games. So I'll wait and see what happens with the actual division. But I am with you on the Dolphins. No one's talking about them. I really think in general, it's the Tua experience, that there's just this general lack of faith that Tua is one of those four or five guys, despite what happened last year. I'm not sure it's fair, but I mean, you have to show that you can get through a season with that quarterback, or like we have Mike White starting games, which I don't hate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when I look at what the Dolphins did this offseason, even before the draft, the fact that they only had four picks going into the draft, but they made the trade for Jalen Ramsey, which is huge because it immediately filled a need for them. And then I liked the first guy that they got, another cornerback. They got Cam Smith, who was really, really good in the SEC. And you know I'm a big college football girl, so that's that. There we go. Ran out the clock.
I'm going to call timeout. I'm going to use our first timeout.
Time out.
Because I just want to cycle back to that interaction with the guy at the Top Golf bar. It was a little bit more annoying, too, because he kind of looked behind him at the TV that was on NFL Network before making the comment, and it was Jeremiah on the screen.
Mm. You're losing all over That's the place tough. In that interaction. Right.
Now,
it's real tough for you.
So, like, when he goes, you know, so they didn't send you the draft, huh? I was like, my real response should have been like, well, you're not at the draft either. Didn't think of it, though.
Fair.
That would have really put him in his place.
Dan, did he by chance dig down and discuss, you know, what he thought about the other characters on the show? Thoughts and feelings about Greg, Mark, Colleen?
What does Claybon? He think about Mark?
He says he loves you, Mark. And he thinks you're a special person and a beautiful boy.
You're going to be like, well, they did send Mark to the draft.
All right. Mark Ross, maybe. Time in. The New England Patriots. So Mac Jones is going to be there, but is Mac Jones set up for success? It couldn't be possibly worse than last year, but they used their first three picks on defensive players. Bill Belichick obviously was asked about that specifically. Hey, what about the offense? Not a lot of playmakers there. And, you know, Bill, he's like, grumble, grumble. That was the board and it was the best players there and all that stuff. But anyway, you have Juju Smith-Schuster there now, and it's like, man, if Juju Smith-Schuster didn't take off with Patrick Mahomes last year, we pretty much know who he is right now, right? And he's fine. He's pretty versatile, but not really a big playmaker necessarily. A nice red zone target, but not special. Mike Gesicki, I think the Dolphins maybe misused him a little bit or underused him. I like him as a prospect, but they haven't proven that they can get a tight end going since Gronk left. Is there enough there? I mean, are they setting up Mac Jones for failure again, but in a little bit of a different way?
I think number one, like I give them an automatic sense of probably rising up much more than last year, just because Bill O'Brien, I mean, for all his issues as a GM, he can run an offense. He and Mac Jones are super tight. I think that heals that whole situation to some degree. But I'm with you, Dan. Like, when I look around at the other offenses in the AFC, the super top-heavy conference, I look at the Patriots, and it's just like, at the end of the rainbow, here's what I see, zero, when it comes to that side of the ball. There's no way they're going to win 11, 12 games. I trust their defense, but it's like, I think Bill Belichick, it's like, you've had two off seasons to go correct this, to course correct a rather bland attack. And last year you went completely in the other direction and you're sitting in neutral this off season.
Mm. Does he want to fix it? Like, because it doesn't really seem that way when you pass all of these tight ends that are supposed to be so good and the wide receivers. You don't draft a pass catcher until round six. I mean, that is kind of a slap to Mac Jones. And I do, though, like Christian Gonzalez a lot, the guy that they traded down for. He's a really good player, and I feel like that's going to be a huge, huge boon for that secondary.
I mean, you draft Kayshon Boutte in the sixth round. You got to get excited about that. Boutte was a guy who's kind of interesting for a sixth round pick who people thought would be a top Greg. 10 first round type of pick. You add a little Boutte to the mix, you're feeling good.
How about I'll put on my tinfoil hat now. Robert Kraft wouldn't let Bill trade Mac. So Bill says, I'm just not going to build up the offense and get him out of the picture next year and then build up on offense after he's gone.
On a real note, I do think there's something to like, Bill wants to do it again. He wants to do it with defense. He wants to zig when they rest of the league zags. They were third and fourth in DVOA the last 2 years with pretty lackluster looking rosters going into the season on defense. And they add Gonzalez. They thought they got a great pick with Keon White. And they're pretty loaded on their defensive line and their defensive backfield. I think Bill thinks if I make my defense look number one, at least I look good and maybe we win.
Yeah, but Greg, they're third and fourth in DVOA and went nowhere.
Right. Well, they're just, I feel like they're just looking for 10 wins. They're the new Saints. I mean, they're hoping to get to 8. Shoot Trank me in the ass. Neck. Shoot it with defense.
Trank them.
I want it. This is like my personal game of bitey. This is the only way I feel alive.
This feels like it should be behind a paywall.
Colleen, the New York Jets.
All right. Well, the highlight of the draft came days before with Aaron Rodgers finally becoming official. This draft, it wasn't so much about splash like it was last year. It was more about necessity. So it wasn't as sexy, which I thought their draft last year was the sexiest. But I thought that they would get an offensive tackle, but all of the guys were pretty much already gone at pick 15. I think there were four guys potentially already gone by that point. But so 15 overall, they went Will McDonald, who he's been pretty good over the past four seasons on the edge. He has 33 sacks. I like that addition for Robert Saleh. I'm hoping that he plays better than like this noise I'm hearing about all of the doubters and him going too high. But that's that. And then on the offensive line, they did get a center, Joe Tippmann, in the second round. I think that that could be a long-term solution for them. And then potentially someone who could help clear some lanes for Breece Hall once he's back from his ACL. So then the right side of that line would be Tippmann, Elijah Vera Tucker, and then Mekhi Becton, the biggest question of all. I thought maybe they would remedy that in this draft, but they're going to just have to figure it out because they got in the fourth round Carter Warren, the tackle from Pitt. He's a Jersey guy, but I just don't know if he's going to be a guy that can start right away. He missed most of the last 6 months with that knee injury. A lot of people say that he could have been like a day two pick, but I don't know if he'll be able to play right away. And they kind of need someone to play right away. And then that backup plan that they did at running back, I like, with Breece Hall coming off the injury and getting, I don't know how to pronounce his name. I'm not going to try and pronounce his name, but I know that they call him Izzy instead of Israel.
That's
Izzy, yeah. So he's fast and he's got big play threat and he could make an immediate impact.
So they went out and, you know, they try to push back on the idea that they got screwed out of a tackle in round one. But then they went out right after the draft and went and got Billy Turner, a veteran who used to start for the Packers, started games for the Broncos last year. And it is, that's the biggest vulnerability of the team right now, in my opinion, is that they didn't add a blue chip prospect at the tackle. And if they deal with injuries again, you have a 39-year-old quarterback and a leaky offensive line. That's how bad things happen. That's how Rodgers is either less effective or gets injured. And then as of right now, Zach Wilson comes in if Aaron Rodgers gets injured. That's another kind of weird subplot around this team. Zach Wilson is still there. And you have an elderly quarterback, and it's like there is a scenario where he ends up ceding time to Zach Wilson. So there are some doomsday scenarios, but this has always been a big swing for the Jets, and there are risks involved.
I think that there are nothing but kind of positive reports about Mekhi Becton this offseason, though, where a year ago it was like, does this guy want to do this? We're not sure. Then he gets hurt. I mean, you have to hope that had they stayed healthy along the line last year, they would have been fine. So it's like if you get better luck on that front and Becton turns out, I think you're all right. If you lose Rodgers, like the whole plan goes to hell anyways.
Exactly. A durable old guy. He never misses games. What do you mean? 16, 16, 16, 16, 17. Those are his starts the last 7 years. 16.
Good point. All right. Hey, man. Listen, from your lips to God's ears, he's going to be healthy. Let's take a break and we'll move to the AFC North.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all. But I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think. Love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools.
From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
All right, welcome back. AFC East in the rearview around the AFC in 48 minutes. Up next is the AFC North. And Connie, we're kicking it back to you to talk the Bengals.
All right, let's talk about the Bengals and what they did here in Kansas City. They kind of went, day one was best available. I really thought that Cincinnati would draft a tight end or a DB in the first round. And instead, they went with an edge player, Miles Murphy. So they're going to just try and build that rotation that they have with Trey Hendrickson and Sam Hubbard. And then eventually, Miles Murphy can be a starter. But I don't know, were you guys shocked about this? The fact that they didn't get a tight end in one of the deepest, most talented classes in a while?
I mean, I think it's sort of like a result of like every mock draft suggesting they would. And it was a need. Like, there's reports now that like Irv Smith is sort of locked in as their guy, which I don't love that, because if anything, Cincinnati has been an embarrassment of riches all over the field. And like going and getting one of those young athletic tight ends would have been transformative, I think, for the offense. So I'm with you. I was surprised that they avoided it. Essentially, they avoided the whole draft, and they don't have a lot of answers. The one thing I do love, I think the Orlando Brown signing was a great coup d'etat for them.
I see Joe Mixon now still on the roster. Lyle Collins still on the roster. Jonah Williams still on the roster. I think if the draft had fallen different, they would take a tight end. But Kincaid goes early. They probably felt that that spot, like they're a premium position type of team. Like, we're going to take the positions that end up costing a lot of money in free agency, and we're going to take them high in the draft. And so you take Miles Murphy, who's very similar to Hubbard and Hendrickson, and replaces him. And then you take DJ Turner. I kind of love, it's weird that they went defense, but I do kind of love that they're very Eagles-like to me, and that they're almost always planning a year out. They're always back drafting for backups for guys that don't need to play right away and then step into it. And they have a really good history of like when they do step in, that they're really good players and that they play a lot. So it's a team that I think isn't as need focused and is thinking long term, and they've kind of deserved the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, we don't know what would have happened, but I do wish we would have found out if Jahmyr Gibbs was still on the clock when the Bengals picked.
Supposedly the Jets were maybe going to take him at 15, which I don't know if I buy either. And the Patriots, too. Like, this has been thrown out there. Who knows?
But yeah, like Gibbs, when he goes off the board and surprises everyone at 12, that takes both of the top, quote unquote, running backs in the class out of the mix. They do go take Chase Brown in the fifth round on Saturday. And you know, the Joe Mixon situation, you've heard so many comments about him from the team, and you know, he's facing criminal charges right now, but Zach Taylor got behind him a little bit after the draft. His future is here with the team. I like Joe Mixon, so I'm going to now operate under the assumption that they're going to move forward with him. Does he have a suspension coming? Is he still a good running back? He took a step back last year. I think they're going to be fine. I'm cool with them focusing on defense. Joe Burrow's,
I also really like their
the
secondary
man.
DJ Turner.
Oh, she's already feeling ill, and she's just been shot by two darts that hit their target.
That is not, yeah, that's five. The immune system takes another hit.
Damn.
All right, the Baltimore Ravens. Hey, man, good times in the Ravens' nest. Lamar is paid. He's healthy right now. He's surrounded by the best skill position talent he's ever had. You have Beckham. You know, and opinions vary on what Beckham's going to give you at this point in his career with off his second ACL, but it's exciting. It's an exciting signing. Rashad Bateman, Zay Flowers coming off the board immediately. That's a legitimately frisky trio of wide receivers. Mark Andrews remains one of the best playmakers at tight end in football. I'm just curious, like, and don't underestimate Lamar Jackson with the new contract. That's all kind of out, like, from all the dark clouds that brought with it. Do we get like MVP level Lamar Jackson back this year, because he's been hurt the last couple of years? At times his play has not been as high a level, certainly as it was in 19 when the MVP. Is he going to get back to that, or will 2019 ultimately be a bit of an outlier when looking at what he can produce?
I think, like, obviously it comes down to being there, being present, because his lack of presence, his lack of durability took him out of that conversation and took the Ravens out of the conversation in January as a serious contender. I mean, for me, there were moments last season, I think it was the Monday night game against the Saints, where he made a couple throws where it's like, this guy can do everything. And like the way you have to plan for him is insane. And you've added Zay Flowers. If you get the good version of Odell Beckham, they're giving him a chance, I think, to thrive through the air and to do what he does on the ground. And you got all the contract nonsense out of the way. So you'd hope the head is clear, because I think that it's fair to question, like, did he push as hard as he could to play at the end of last year? I don't know the answer to that, but that's sort of what everyone's talking about. That doesn't happen this time around.
Yeah, he's had really weird seasons the last two seasons. I mean, 2021, he looked like an MVP for 5 weeks, then kind of goes off a cliff, gets hurt. Last year, similar, where it was like a really fast start, and then again, kind of the injuries and in the play. I mean, it's a huge sea change to have Todd Monken. The excuses are out. There's no Greg Roman. There's receivers. This team, there's too many teams in the AFC that are going to be disappointed because they feel like almost a Super Bowl or bust team because everything's loaded. Their front seven on defense isn't amazing. But other than that, man, they are like kind of loaded for bear as much. And I'm excited that Greg Roman is not there and they have a different coordinator.
Lamar is in good shape for this year, like adding Odell Beckham, but then adding Zay Flowers, who can do a lot of different things on the field. You can play him out of the slot. You can line him up outside, too. And like, I mean, he's so good. That's a great addition to that passing game. I was really surprised that DaCosta, we didn't see him like moving around at all either. Like usually we see him making trades and being involved in some of these like more splashy things. And I guess the splashy thing was getting Lamar signed.
They didn't give Patrick Queen a fifth year option, by the way, which is a little surprising.
Yeah, they declined that. When was the Lamar has to take a poop game?
That was against Cleveland on Monday
end
night.
Of 2 years ago?
Two seasons.
That was like, season. That was the last time, whatever, put down the trank. That was the last time that that he felt like a superstar, when he had to take a poop and he came out and shredded the Browns in that great back and forth game. That's the guy I want back. End of 2020, it looks like.
How about that Dolphins game that was like 51 to, wasn't that crazy last year in week two? That was, you know, it was like
an insane
game back and forth. But you're right, it's been hit and miss, hit and miss.
All right, up next.
I know, we should have used the timeout. Also, it wasn't surprising Patrick Queen didn't get a fifth year option. I misspoke. Like, he's kind of been on the outs.
The Pittsburgh Steelers, Greg Rosenthal.
All right, my question is just, is Matt Canada and Kenny Pickett up to the challenge? Like, that's my big question, because it's another team that I really like their draft. I like their offseason. I think they've added enough on their offensive line with Broderick Jones, and they also had a quiet move in free agency, Isaac Seumalo, who's a good pickup at guard. So, like, they have receivers. They have the running backs. I think the offensive line is better. But they kept Matt Canada. And like, Kenny Pickett was a good rookie quarterback. I think he beat lowish expectations. But the harder part is like, okay, you were a decent rookie quarterback. Can you take that year two leap? Like, if Matt Canada and Pickett are up to the challenge, this is a fun little team.
We were pretty tough on Canada last year early on, and if you look back, he struggled with a late career Ben Roethlisberger who was breaking down, and then you got a rookie quarterback and you had Mitch Trubisky, and it was just like not a great situation. The offense took a while to grow, but by the end of the year I thought the whole thing looked a lot better, and I kind of stopped thinking about Matt Canada the same way. But you know, handling Fair. the young career of a quarterback is so important that if he stands out as not creative enough or not really capable enough, I think he's got 1 year, Matt Canada, to prove that he can make this offense basically sing.
I think that we could see Kenny Pickett make that jump this year. We saw from him flashes of what he could potentially do, especially with George Pickens making incredible catches. I don't know what Allen Robinson has left and how he'll look on this offense, but I mean, I just remember being in Pittsburgh for that Christmas Eve game and watching at the very end when, I mean, obviously Derek Carr helped them out with some of those interceptions, but watching Kenny Pickett make that play, Pickett to Pickens, I believe it was, and the whole place just erupted, and it was the Franco Harris game, and it just felt like they finally started to kind of get some of that momentum late in the season. And then their draft, I like too. I like Broderick Jones adding a tackle there, and then of course Joey Porter Jr., who was like the most exciting guy to be mocked to them all off season long.
They really are moving forward. Of course, it's been a couple of years now, but it really does start. They've now rebooted post Big Ben. They've used their last three first round picks on offensive players. It was Najee Harris, then the quarterback Pickett, now Broderick Jones. And I agree. This is, you know, Pickett entering his second season. You're going to want to see growth there. And I think he's set up better than he was last year. So,
you know, what stands out to me,
I'm down.
Is like the good teams now, they rebuild in one season. There is no 3-year, 4-year rebuild. Like the good teams turn it around and go through a transformation 1 year. And that's what the Steelers
did. Yeah, that's why, like, Daniel Jones was an outlier in that sense. Usually it's your quarterback after 2 years. Drank me. It does feel good. Up next, you might have to up the power of the trank because you've tranked us so many times, Justin, that it has no effect.
I'll take a trank. Can I get one? Can I get in on that? Can I get a hit of that trank? Thanks.
Yeah, I think I've been like exceedingly obedient, and I've been tranked, I think, not once.
You've been a good boy, Mark.
I think that caught you in the eye. Right in the eye. Put the patch on him.
Up next,
Mark Sessler, the Cleveland Browns.
I feel like nobody's talking about the Browns. And it's like, I even think I just like kind of write them off as a 7-win team for a lot of reasons that are, I think, a little bit unfair. Because if anything, when I look at the roster, I don't think there's enough pressure on the Browns right now because they have a win now offense. Like, just look at the names. You got Nick Chubb, David Njoku, Amari Cooper. If Elijah Moore works out, Donovan Peoples-Jones. I really like Cedric Tillman, their third round wide receiver. David Bell might work out. Their offensive line is still good. And imagine if like Deshaun Watson is a little bit better. And I think on defense, which was a huge issue, Jim Schwartz took over. I think it's going to be that their issue was coaching. I love that upgrade there. They got better in the middle. And it's like, I'm not calling them a Super Bowl contender, but how is really anything less than a wild card berth anything but a complete flaming disaster for Kevin Stefanski? The roster is better than people realize.
I hear you, but there's like only so much room. But I kind of agree that if they were in the AFC South, I would make them the favorites. If they were in the NFC South, I would make them the favorites. A couple other divisions, like they'd be co-favorites, like the NFC North or something. But they're stuck in this division. They're stuck in the AFC where some teams are going to get disappointed. I think it's fair, though, to look at that roster and they address their biggest problems this offseason and say, like, they don't really have huge problems other than Deshaun Watson stunk last year. If he gets back to being a top 10 quarterback, which is a huge if, but then they could be rolling.
Yeah, and the fact that they went so defensive heavy in the top of the draft here, I mean, what Andrew Berry had in this draft, what he had to work with, was not that much, but I thought that the picks were really solid with what he did, and then adding a guy on the edge and adding a defensive tackle and inside linebacker. They needed more guys in the middle that could actually stop the run, that could actually make a difference on that defensive line. So I liked what they did.
I don't want to be reductive about this, but, and I was thinking about the Browns during power rankings, like, they're laying in the weeds a little bit, in my opinion, because if Watson is a limited quarterback at this point, yeah, they're done. They're not just done this year. They're done for multiple years. And that was part of the gamble of the contract they gave Watson. But if Watson does come back and have his game back, they can absolutely hang in this division and, in my opinion, any division, because he was that good before everything went sideways in his life. So I think it's one of the big, if we look at, maybe we'll do it later in the summer, like the big questions of the 2023 NFL season. Who is Deshaun Watson? That is, to me, one of the biggest, because it defines, it's a huge question mark in the whole conference for me.
Yeah, I think, like, I mean, his performance over six games, it's not, like, I guess, super surprising, but it leaves you completely mystified about who he is. That's kind of the last thing he wanted, like, as a sample size, is we have no idea who he is right now.
If he lights up the league in September, six, you know, the Browns are legitimately dangerous. Three, mm-hmm. But two, we just don't know if that guy's coming back.
We haven't seen him in a while.
That's his fault, not ours. Exactly. Let's take a break, and then we will hit the AFC South.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
All right, welcome back. We are going around the AFC in 48 minutes, 3 minutes a team, and we now move to the suddenly interesting, or I could say intriguing, AFC South. Mark, get us going with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, from like a DVOA angle, they finished last year with the 9th best offense. And if you break it down to over like the final 6 weeks or so, they were like the 3rd best passing attack in the league. And so obviously Trevor Lawrence made about as big of a leap of any quarterback not named Jalen Hurts. It went perfectly for them down the stretch, and they gave the Chiefs a fight in January, and there's really nothing not to like. And they've added Calvin Ridley to the mix. So I guess what I would ask you is, like, are you buying the Jaguars as the NFL's next consistently awesome passing attack / offense? Or do you think, like, you know what? There might be a sneaky regression here that people aren't ready to deal with. And I guess, you know, I just say, if you can smell like what the Rock is cooking, what does it smell like to you?
Wait, what?
Caught me off balance on that one.
What? It just came to mind. Like, I mean, what's happening here? Like, they're back there cooking something up, and it's like everyone's assuming it's going to be next step up. I wonder if that's
a drop, Justin.
A lock.
Mm-hmm. Are you a big Rock fan? Are you a WWE?
I didn't know this about
guy?
You, Mark.
Super multi-talented. I know that was his sort of tagline. I didn't track that his career as a wrestler overly heavy because I don't watch wrestling. But
I'm a little anxious.
Let's get back on track.
Yeah, I'm a little anxious. Just if I'm smelling something, like it smells good. But it's not the spiciest thing in the world. I'm a little anxious that, like, all the rookies they signed this year, they're not projected to necessarily start. They kind of just stood on what their team was a year ago. They made so much improvement, and they spent so much money a year ago that they sort of didn't have to, and these things go in cycle. They couldn't. They need improvement from within. I'm more concerned about the defense. So I guess to answer your question, I think it's more likely that their offense stays quite good. And that there's not much regression there. I'm a little more worried about the defense. They need Devin Lloyd, Trayvon Walker to step up.
Yeah,
I think the offense will get better. Like, especially when you have Cam Robinson, who he's going to face that suspension at the beginning of the year, but they drafted Anton Harrison, who is probably going to have to play right away in that situation. But he was really, really good. He allowed just one sack over the past two seasons. So I think that this offense is just going to grow and get better based on what they did last year.
Yeah, I don't know what the flavor of the offense is going to be. I think the flavor of their draft is like a potato salad served at a barbecue in Orlando. It's not,
I
not
love
a ton of spice
salad
to it. Yeah, it's maybe a lot of mayo in it. But Trevor Lawrence is spicy as F. And the Rock can smell that cooking, and I think he is going to continue to go up in ability and production. I think he could be an MVP this year. So watch
especially it with Calvin Ridley. That's Calvin spicy. Ridley and Christian Kirk together? Yeah. Wow.
The Tennessee Titans, Greg Rosenthal.
Okay. I'm looking at this team. They're not more interesting. Like, they're the one team in the AFC South that's just making me wonder, are they just boring or are they bad and boring? And my instinct would be they're probably more just boring. They aren't necessarily that bad. You look at their defense, it's actually, you know, very similar, if not better, to the defensive roster they had when they were the one seed in the AFC. They're going to get a lot healthier this year. Like, it's a good front seven, and especially the defensive line, and a good defensive backfield. If Tannehill's there, yeah, they have no one at wide receiver, but I think they can reasonably expect that they're going to coach this team up because they found a way to win games. And like, they might just be boring, but I'm not sure that they're necessarily going to be that bad. They just fit right in with the rest of the AFC South too. If they traded Tannehill, which I feel like there's a bigger chance still than people recognize, then all bets are off.
Their wide receivers are Treylon Burks, and you have Nick Westbrook-Ikhine and Kyle Phillips. I mean, this is a rough wide receiver group. I feel like we can't just brush that aside. I don't know. I don't really have a ton of confidence in them. And then, I mean, thank God they have Derrick Henry there, but it's not like they have any great tight ends either on this roster.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I'm with you where it's like we can't brush off the wide receiver situation. Well, they seemed to be willing to do that. There was no ability to go trade for anyone, draft anyone. And it leaves like Will Levis, if he ends up starting, if they do move Tannehill at some point, like in a rough spot for a rookie quarterback, I think. I mean, yeah, you'll have Derrick Henry, but I'm not totally sold that Derrick Henry's on this roster if they're not waiting to sell him at a point where you can sell high.
I think I'm just curious how they're going to play this. They obviously didn't value Levis enough to take him in the first round, but they valued him enough to trade up and get him in the second round. And if this team is what pretty much everybody thinks they'll be, let's say even being somewhat kind, let's say they're 4-4 in October, or they're 5-7 heading into November. Like, at what point do you pull the ripcord if you have Ryan Tannehill as your starter and go look at Will Levis? Because if you're going to keep Tannehill around and you're going to keep Derrick Henry around, that tells me you think you could still compete and be a playoff team. So that all makes sense to start the season with him. But at what point do you have to pivot and start spinning forward?
They're hoping, I think, the coaching staff changes things. You know, he brought in Tim Kelly, who was with him in Houston. Maybe the most important guy on the roster or on the staff is Jason Hudeling. That's their new offensive line coach. Their offensive line has been so bad, and they added a couple pieces like Skoronski, but if you can get good offensive line coaching, you can get a lot better. They did 6 picks all on offense, so it's not like they ignored their offense. It was an all-offense draft.
When does Will Levis come in? Do we believe in Will Levis? What is his role going to be? That's my biggest question.
Dan took the timeout. Saved
Colleen. I had to save Colleen from a dart to the jugular.
I know. Thank you.
I feel like you guys want these darts to land in your body. That's what I keep. That's that was the theme also, I keep hearing from you.
I would love a dart right here.
That is also, I had laid that out as well previously, Colleen. Like, what is the plan with Tannehill, and when does the quarterback enter the equation? They're in an in between period. By the way, Justin, how weird is it to be Malik Willis now? You were a third round pick of a prior regime. And it just seems like he is basically floating through outer space without a helmet on.
Yeah, I don't think Malik Willis is long for the Titans. Probably end of training camp type of cut. Unless they decide to trade
him. Wait a second. Can I just say?
They're like, not going to cut him.
They definitely maybe could cut him.
People sleep on how bizarre the end of the season was last year. That they had this kid, Willis, that they brought in for Tannehill. And then they were so out on him that they took Josh Dobbs off the street in what was essentially a playoff game. Like, and then they draft a quarterback.
But they didn't take him because they were out on Tannehill. They took him 86th in the draft after like drafting 4 other.
I'm just saying,
players.
What happened to developing talent?
I don't think it's that weird. I don't think it's that weird because John Robinson, ejector seat out of there, probably was his guy much more than Vrabel's. Vrabel's comments on Malik Willis at the end of that year when they opted for Josh Dobbs, who had like 4 days of practice with him, told me all I needed to hear. Now they went and drafted someone else. Like, the head coach, who has buy-in from the GM on this front, has zero belief in Malik Willis. And Malik Willis's own play didn't give the fan much belief. And so I'm kind of with Gravedigger. Like, there's a sneaky world where he doesn't make this roster.
Wasn't Dobbs good in that game, by the way?
Dobbs was
wasn't
decent.
Like a Thursday night game. He came he in okay. and like was yeah, pretty
totally
damn
functional.
Good.
He was functional.
He did throw like a backbreaking interception, but like he was just trying right. to make a play. Malik Willis was one of the worst starting quarterbacks in the league last year. He completed like 8 passes or something. It was horrible.
Well, my point is he was a third round pick yeah. and as a rookie, and he has 2 bad games, and everybody's like, all right, he sucks.
I think
a lot of quarterbacks suck when they're first learning the league at this level. I feel like I'm not saying he was a third round pick. I understand. And it's a different GM now. I understand that. But the fact, if I'm Malik Willis, I'm feeling like, man, I feel like I didn't really get a shot here and I'm already now mm-hmm. done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think from Malik's perspective, not enough people do.
They were trying to make the playoffs at the end of the year and they just didn't believe that he was ready to get it done. Maybe they think he needed an offseason of development. Maybe he'll be the quarterback 2 and Will Levis will be the QB 1 and you ship Ryan Tannehill off or save him and trade him at the trade deadline. That's what I would do.
Josh Dobbs, by the way, is now Deshaun Watson's backup. Hopefully, you know, if I'm Watson, you don't want to miss any games or your backup might look better than you for the second straight
this
season.
This is a beefy
Josh
television
Dobbs.
Timeout here.
It is.
Now we have 1 timeout remaining, okay? And I'm not saying I have to call it, so just use it wisely, though. Here we go. The Houston Texans, the old Zeuser. Connie, you think the Titans have issues at wide receiver. The Texans pull the trigger on C.J. Stroud at 2, then trade a first-round pick to move back up to take a defensive end, Will Anderson at 3. And then the draft ends, and you look at their depth chart, and it's like, what? Their number one wide receiver is Robert Woods. Robert Woods looked shot last year in Tennessee. He had 500 yards receiving. He is their number one wide receiver. They traded Brandon Cooks to Dallas. Cooks didn't want anything to do with being there, so what are you going to do there? But they have – here are some names. This is what I'm going to call a segment. The segment's called Some Names. Nathaniel Dell, Xavier Hutchinson, Nico Collins, Noah Brown, who they picked up at free agency. Like, C.J. Stroud is going to struggle throwing in tight windows because there's going to be nobody open many weeks this year.
I do like Nico Collins. You're right. They're in the short supply there. But Tank Dell, I think, is someone who has already said he's like got a chip on his shoulder and looked at every wideout that was ticking over him. Like, there's something to like there. I know, Daniel, you'll never buy into that concept. But it's just like it's a need. They also, like a year ago, had needs everywhere. And I honestly think the one thing they did is they went and got a coach who's going to – I think D'Amico Ryans is like – coach of the year material, because I think they could sneaky win 8 or 9 games somehow, and like it'd be a feel-good story after 3 years of total shipwreck and disaster.
I mean, short term, this I guess is good with CJ Stroud, because this team went through 2 seasons with Davis Mills. They've had 4 head coaches in the last 3 years. Like, they needed stability at the head coaching spot and at the quarterback position, and they will hopefully get it with CJ Stroud. Yeah, I'm totally concerned that they don't have any wide receivers for him to throw to. The offense last year was Damian Pierce and just like a bunch of dead weight on his shoulders. So they need to upgrade the passing game, and they only really got that one main piece for it. So how do you do it? I don't know. D'Amico Ryans, and I guess the OC there needs to figure it out.
I like D'Amico Ryans too. I'm just saying, like, have you set up your young quarterback for success? It's not.
Well,
no.
I don't think they did.
I think it's like raising the question: what do you build? How do you build around a quarterback? Bobby Slowick brings it that Shanahan system. They have a pretty good offensive line. They have a pretty good running game. They're hoping to have a good defense. Like, that's another way to do it. They're looking at it like, I think the Patriots are a little like this, and the Titans are right now too. They're zigging while the rest of the league is zagging at wide receiver. I at least like the Texans' options a lot more than the Titans. I mean, Tank Dell's kind of fun. Nico Collins could be fun. John Mechie was a second-round pick. He had that cancer battle, but it sounds like he's going to play this year. Noah Brown was okay. Like, Robert Woods, you're right, is their wide receiver 1. He might also be like their wide receiver 4. I mean, they have some names. They have some names.
Somebody needs to emerge. I guess that's the point, because Woods should not be seen as the guy, because he's just our guy.
Well, we can't kill the Titans. I can't kill the Titans and make a bunch of excuses for the Texans.
That's fair.
I refuse to do. I'm just, you know, I won't do it. No more excuses for the Texans.
Wow.
I just wanted that to happen.
The Colts, Connie.
the Colts. The top of this draft was so bonkers with the Texans taking a quarterback at two, which everyone was thinking that they might take a defender, and then trading up then to take their defender in Will Anderson, and then having the Colts, who were picking four, take Anthony Richardson. That was one of the main questions about the draft, was where Richardson would fall. And so now he goes to Indianapolis, which I was kind of surprised about, because in so many of the mocks, you would have guys talking about whether it would be Will Levis or Anthony Richardson, because Will Levis is supposed to be more pro ready, more of a day one guy. And now you have Anthony Richardson, where his ceiling is outrageous. Like, he has incredible traits. And you have Shane Steichen there, the offensive coordinator who worked with Jalen Hurts. And we saw the development that Jalen Hurts went through. So that gives me some optimism about this pairing in the future. But were you surprised that they didn't go Will Levis here? And is Jim Irsay actually crowdsourcing picks? Because I could not believe that Irsay tweeted out, Colts fans, would you take Will Levis at two if you're on the board for the Colts in 4 hours from now? Go Montana and Young for franchise. What? What is he doing? Somebody needs to take Twitter away from him.
Mm. I mean, no. I think he's like, yeah, I kind of enjoy him. I think he's like a pure wild card from the NFL owner perspective. Ballard did say, and there was, he basically, someone else came out of the record on the inside the building and said, Ballard told me weeks ago that Anthony Richardson was the guy. And the reasoning was that all the quarterbacks were flawed, or viewed as flawed, but then why not then swing for the guy that could be like a massive home run versus Will Levis, who we'll see what he is, but I'm certainly think he'd be the safer pick. But I mean, the Colts love these big, powerful players at every position. I think Anthony Richardson, I can see why Ballard fell in love. He just got to get it right, because he's swung and missed on like eight quarterbacks.
Right. They love to run the ball. They have an offensive line where they've invested so much money, poorly, by the way. But Quentin Nelson's still there. Braden Smith is still there. They're still good. Ryan Kelly's making a lot of money at center. I want them to sign some more veterans, but they love to run the ball. And I know Steichen loves to run the ball, and I think they have the players to do it. And so you look at Richardson versus Levis that way, and that's a nice baseline to start with everything.
Yeah, what's the general vibe about the Colts offensive line? Was that a blip last year where everything went wrong, Murphy's Law, or is that a group that's now should be seen as questionable?
I think they're questionable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it will be a new coaching staff that maybe an improved one, but I typically, like, when an offensive line completely breaks down over like 14, 15, 16 games, 10, I don't predict 9, them to come roaring 8, back.
7, 6, 5.
I thought too,
4,
3, when it 2, was Michael Pippen Jr.
No,
he said
no, Colleen.
Last week.
Too late,
oh,
Colleen.
No!
Colleen,
that he was excited about
close.
The passing game and the passing concepts that were being installed, and damn.
Right. It was like when there was like the countdown was at 4 and Colleen was like, you know, I was also thinking. I was like, uh-oh, she's doomed.
Where is the countdown? Where do you guys see the countdown?
Oh, no. I don't think you're hearing it in your ears. That explains a lot.
Oh, no.
It explains a lot.
Man,
oh,
I am
cold.
Really, I'm playing hurt, guys.
You're a grinder. There's one more division to go, Connie.
Okay,
and
here we go.
And you know, also, not for nothing, the Sixers beat the Celtics in game one without
Oh,
Embiid,
my God. Did you see James Harden's outfit? It was so good.
If you want to use a timeout just to dunk on Greg and his favorite team, I would not have an issue with it. Just
Nor
throw
would
it
I.
out there.
Timeout.
I can't dunk on anyone right now.
Mm.
Oh, poor Connie.
Connie, when we hear the 10 seconds, and if you're watching and you can check out us out on YouTube, you know, for this great action, I'll give you a signal. I'll give you this is the signal.
Okay,
I'm going to
okay.
hold
Same.
My hands up when we get the 10 seconds.
Okay.
Great. But that Stage Celtics loss, like it hurt me. I don't like getting hurt.
Let's take a break and we'll be right back. Weird show.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think. Love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on
I'm
top
not
of it.
Like that. See that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came out from crying tears. Crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because he didn't need it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
All right, welcome back. We have one more division. We have to get Colleen to an urgent care. So we're going to wrap this thing up. Connie, we were stunned to learn, despite us all having the same audio feed, that you have not been hearing a countdown clock at all. Do you want to, Justin, play her the countdown so she just can hear it? Maybe it's just something she's been filtering out.
I think that's the case.
Oh, I could, but we'd have to wait 3 minutes for it to get to the end of the clock.
Right. It's okay. Perfect. I can do it, guys. I'm ready.
All right.
I got this. This is the division.
And Greg is going to give you a verbal warning or some type of visual. I also will give you a heads up.
You know what? This is teamwork right here.
Connie, he's holding a sign that says, "Connie, stop talking."
This is why I love you guys. This is why this works. All right.
Hey, we're
Are you guys
team.
Ready?
Here we go. We move into the AFC West. And yes, it is Colleen Wolf kicking it off.
Okay. So
Kansas City Chiefs.
Quick story in Kansas City. I'm talking to Heidi Gardner, who is on SNL. She's a huge Chiefs fan, and they have me interviewing her in front of everyone at the draft. Love her too. And I figure she's got a great personality, so I'm going to like throw this out to her. And so I was like, why did Kansas City have to win the Super Bowl, and why did they have to beat the Eagles? And it just like did not go as I had planned in my mind, in my head. So I've been really working my way back since that moment, but I did really enjoy what Kansas City did here. Felix Anadike Uzama. It was such a fun pick next to the Cowboys and the coach drafting his son. This was one of the heartwarming moments of round one because Felix is from Kansas City. He grew up a Chiefs fan. Like, he went to their training camps, and now he gets to join this team that is celebrating a Super Bowl, was still celebrating at the draft. And it's an obvious need for them too, with Frank Clark being cut. He's had 19 and a half sacks over the past two seasons. I think that really helps their pass rush. And will that equate to another Super Bowl? Gang,
I mean, they'll be in the mix, but I feel like you left us on the ledge there. What happened with Gardner?
Dig into the awkwardness angle.
It was so awkward. It was very awkward. It was not as funny as I wanted it to be, and I don't know if it was funny at all. And I like really wanted a trap door to just like kind of fall into. But she was awesome.
Despite being on SNL, does she lack a sense of humor in person or something?
No, what? No. Okay. She is great, and she is sweet, and she is funny. But I just don't think I set it up properly. Because maybe it was the head cold. At the time,
she wouldn't know that you're an Eagles
over.
Fan too. So that could be something.
I did say, that I'm an Eagles fan, yeah.
But also, maybe you were looking for that little sass back and forth with the crowd. And the Kansas City folk, they're nice Midwesterners. It's not like a Philly
they're
crowd, you know?
So nice. Yeah. Every time I tried to razz them, it just, like, never landed.
I think Heidi Gardner is a great talent on SNL. My wife has met her, too, and said she's delightful.
Yeah.
And I think she's the best actor on SNL.
She's
watch
so good. This,
watch her in any of those sketches. She's like blowing everyone away in terms
and
of
and in Shrinking, if you guys have started that. That's a great series.
But the Chiefs fans are going to be mad. Greg, say something about the Chiefs. Smart.
Racy Rice is a fun second round pick. just because he's a receiver that's going to be catching balls from Patrick Mahomes. We heard a lot about Zay Flowers maybe going there, that they tried to trade up, but it was too expensive. He has going to have a chance, Rice, to step in right away, because I think Sky Moore was a little bit of a letdown last year.
I think you need to douse the roster with a waterfall of like barbiturates to not make the Super Bowl again. I think I'd see them winning two or three over the next 5 years. They're that Whoa. Team.
Should I open up a new topic?
Oh, wait. I totally didn't give you your signal.
No one signaled, Colleen.
No, I know. I heard.
103 catches and 1,230 yards and 7 touchdowns went out the door with Mecole Hardman and Juju Smith-Schuster. So, Rashee Rice, Sky Moore, Kadarius Toney, they gotta do it.
MVS.
Wow, you just think they're just going to roll, like a dynasty is going to keep rolling, huh, Mark?
It's the only team that I'd point to right now where I just believe that they can have an imperfect season and you get the most heroic quarterback run by Mahomes that I can remember. And they a year ago we're like, oh, can they handle the transition? I'd say yes they can, and yes they can thrive, and yes they win a Super Bowl. They'll do it again.
But also, does anything change right, with Eric Bieniemy being gone?
Whoa. Hey Steph Curry, we don't have a timeout. We're out.
Uh-oh. What happens now?
Oh.
The universe swallows itself.
We just That's don't what care. Happens. We don't respect the Trank anymore. It's disappointing. They're bringing back Jerick McKinnon, by the way. How about that?
Are they? And they declined the fifth-year option on Clyde Edwards-Helaire, so whatever. All right, let's move on to the Denver Broncos. Listen, in some ways they've done well here in terms of trying to salvage this Russell Wilson thing. Sean Payton entered the building. They spent a bunch of money on the offensive line after he got sacked, I think, 55 times last year. It wasn't all the offensive line's fault, by the way, but it's worth noting. And I'm wondering, though, what's going on with their running back situation? This is the worst running back situation in the league right now, and I don't know if anyone's close. They have Samaje Perine, okay, but he's never had more than 95 carries in his life. He's fine, just a guy. Javonte Williams, they're hoping that he plays this year at some point, but he had one of those knee injuries, like the tore multiple ligaments type knee injuries that you just don't know if he's ever going to be able to really come back or if the next year is a total washout. I just wonder, like, they're going to want to run the ball a lot to help protect themselves from Russell Wilson, and I don't know if they can the way the roster is set up right now unless Perine is way better than we're anticipating, or at least I am.
He's solid. He's a solid back, and Javonte Williams is exciting. But you're right.
I don't know. Williams. They don't even know when Javonte Williams is coming back.
Okay, that's fair. This is a team full of like kind of backup choices. Sean Payton was quietly their fourth choice at head coach. They wanted D'Amico Ryans. They wanted Jim Harbaugh. They wanted Dan Quinn. It's a weird thing sitting over them. And then I look at their roster, and like other than Russell Wilson, I think they've set themselves up pretty nicely. They're so deep at wide receiver. I do think Cortland Sutton and or Jerry Jeudy could still get moved, but they picked up the fifth year option on Jeudy.
I think to your question, Dan, like maybe they feel better about Devontae behind the scenes to not make a move. Like maybe they have a better track on where his recovery is. I mean, if he's healthy, I kind of like their backfield because I think Perine is a classic Sean Payton, like pass catching guy that he's always had in his career that you can use in a certain way. I don't like him as the lead lone back. I wonder if someone like Mark Ingram is a free agent who has a long history with Sean Payton could wind up there for part of the season if you need to get Devontae healthy.
God, I really hope that Javonte is healthy because when he's healthy, he's so good. His contact balance, it's 1 minute, guys. 1 minute's left. I got it. His contact balance is insane. Like, he is such an exciting player to watch. He just bounces off of people. And then they also have Tim Patrick coming back, who didn't even get a chance to have his big breakout season, which I thought he was going to have last year. So they have him, which almost feels like an extra pick coming into this pass-catching room. I don't know. I think that all of the additions that they're spending the big money on the offensive line, that also helps out, too, protecting Russell Wilson, like you mentioned off the top there, Dan. So I don't feel as pessimistic about the Broncos.
Second round pick on Marvin Mims, too. They're loaded. They're very deep.
No, they were loaded a year ago.
How long is the leash on Wilson? That's interesting.
8 games.
Up next is the Las Vegas Raiders with Greg Rosenthal.
Okay, here's a hot take. Jimmy Garoppolo's weapons are as good in Las Vegas as they were in San Francisco. Let's go through
what?
It.
What?
Right. Come on.
What?
All right, number one receiver. You got Debo versus Davante Adams. Big win for Davante Adams. Number two receiver, you got Jacoby Myers versus Ayuk. I'm giving that to Ayuk. Slot receiver, whoever the 49ers throw out versus Hunter Renfro. Giving that to Renfro. Tight end, you got George Kittle and a good backup versus Michael Mayer. I love that Michael Mayer picking Austin Hooper. I'm giving that to San Francisco, but with Mayer there, at least it's not like as big a blow as it would have been. We're split. Now we're going to running back. Whoever they're throwing out in San Francisco, it's Josh Jacobs versus against the 49ers. I'm giving it to Jacobs. That's a nice group. Now, Shanahan is definitely greater than McDaniels. The offensive lines both have questions, but just in terms of weapons around Jimmy G, he's got some nice weapons.
Well, I'm That's glad you point. Mentioned the coaching like situation, because my biggest issue is like wait and see on Josh McDaniels thriving as a play caller outside of New England. Historically, that's not happened at all. But B, getting through a season without controversy surrounding one of his own players. He doesn't seem to get along with his own players that well. And also, come on, I like this from Graver in the chat here. Christian McCaffrey, not better than Josh Jacobs?
Okay, that was probably Ooh. True. I'll give it a slight edge to CMC. But I'm just saying these things are competitive. These are competitive.
But that's not as spicy a take. But your point is also well made, solidly made, Greg, that he is not inheriting a much lesser situation. We'll see. I mean, you kind of need Mayer to hit the ground running a little bit, I think. And he certainly could. And Jacobs... Listen, he didn't get his option picked up before last year. Is he going to be able to have another season like last year that felt like a career best season? And then the health of Garoppolo hangs over everything, and they still don't have a lot of depth behind him. So I think they are one of those teams where if everything breaks well, they could be a wild card team. But I don't love the Raiders right now. I don't.
No,
the Raiders are just hard to love, though. Like, I feel like it's hard to trust the Raiders every year. Even when their roster looks good, I don't end up loving them because of the way that they end up playing. And a lot of that was Derek Carr. But I was even surprised during the draft that they didn't take Christian Gonzalez, who was still there. And, you know, they went with Tyree Wilson.
Yeah.
Who is still really good.
I mean, they're looking like they're trying to get into score fest, like that they'll be all offense. And I apologize to Christian McCaffrey. I would definitely take him over Josh Jacobs. And that was a brain fart. And the offensive line, I'm surprised they didn't do anything there all offseason.
Good news, Connie. We have one more.
It's
the Los Angeles Chargers with Mark Sessler.
Well, the Chargers, I think they absolutely needed to add a weapon on offense, and they did it with Quentin Johnson. It's one of these guys I just cannot wait to see how he fits there. And, you know, The Athletic essentially mentioned, Daniel Popper does a great job with them, said essentially at this point, they really just need like a blocking tight end, a cornerback, a safety, which they, you know, they did a nice job last offseason after the draft shoring up some weaknesses. So if they do all that, again, I think we're back in this world where you look at the Chargers on paper and they're one of the better rosters league-wide. I can't think of another like entity in the NFL like this team, because you've got essentially premium talent all over the place. Check. Top flight quarterback. Check. New offensive coordinator after we were all complaining about the old one. They've done that. And despite all of it, does anyone here trust them to win fights with the Chiefs, the Bills, the Bengals, or even the Jaguars? Like, I don't know if this is like a sneaky Super Bowl team or just another expedition into nothingness, which it feels like the Chargers do to us every year.
I don't know if this is Al Michaels' fault and Tony Dungy's, but like, has any game been memory hold more than the Chargers losing a 27-0 lead in a playoff game? Like, that happened. I still can't believe. And if there's maybe inside that building, there's still a lot of mental warfare and shrapnel to deal with connected to that loss. But I think that's why everyone is basically, this is the first offseason in a couple of years where you don't feel a lot of like excitement from the outside about what the Chargers can be. But like, Connie, like when you do, with the way Mark set that up there, there is plenty of reasons to be juiced about them. But this is a team that blew a 27-0 lead in the playoffs.
It's hard to forget that because it happened so recently too. But this could be a team that's also lying in the weeds because it's the Chargers and people doubt them so often because of their history. But I found it really interesting with their draft that they passed on a running back. They didn't take any. So at this point, I guess that means that Austin Eckler will not be traded and they're going to go forward with him.
Well, not only that, they answered very directly after the draft. Did anyone call about Eckler? And they're like, nope, we didn't receive a single call. He's going to be there. Why are you laughing?
Connie, I was a little worried about you during that answer.
You know, I'm really worried about me right now. Just landing any type of plane is difficult.
There's no more AFC teams, though, at least, Connie.
Can I say the Chargers fans that might be annoyed with surfacing that playoff loss? There's only one way to blow a 27-0 lead in a playoff game. It's to have a 27-0 lead in a playoff game. So obviously there's a lot there to build on, but you got to get some of that scar tissue out of there and move forward.
I'd also just say, remember why Mike Williams wasn't in that game, because they put meaningless starters out in a meaningless game the week before.
Well, they got the head coach out of there, fresh start, so, oh wait.
No.
Poor Brandon
I was
Staley.
Like, oh my God, I'm much worse than I feel right now. He's still there.
No, at two winning seasons. I feel like no coach who had back-to-back winning seasons taking over has endured more ridiculous ways to lose and criticism than Brandon Staley. I mean, mostly it's his fault.
Mike McCarthy, maybe, but you're right.
I think they need to get to the second round of the playoffs for him to have a job after everything.
I mean, it's over. There's no Tranks now. By the way, the Bills signed Puna Ford today, who was one of the highest people ranked left on my top 101 free agents. It is now sign free agent season again because you don't have to pay the compensatory picks. Jerick McKinnon got signed. So there's some decent players out there. As of yesterday, there were 16 guys still left from the top 101. Now it's 15.
Connie, you've said it all. You fought through it. We're going to give you the final word.
I just want to say that I was not looking for sympathy. I just didn't actually think I was going to be like this. I thought that I'd be a little bit better off for this show. And then moments before the show started, I realized that this could go sideways. So appreciate you guys dealing with me. Thank you. Thank you. It's been fun. Let's hang out again when I am healthy.
Okay.
All right.
Tell Gonzo to come back from his walk.
We'll be back on Thursday with the great Patrick Claibon, and we'll hit the NFC in 48 minutes. Thank you to everybody for listening. Until then, you know what you got to do. Go to the hospital. Heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.